other night.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CADcast episode number 527. I'm your host, GPD, here in Long Island, New York. And as always, we're joined by a man who ranks The Last Jedi as one of the top five Star Wars movies of 2017, Wombat.
That is a fact of 2017. Yes, I will definitely, rank it there. It may even be a, I don't even know.
The top one.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Also, Shipwreck is here, who probably also ranks The Last Jedi as one of the top five Star Wars movies of 2017.
I do rank The Last Jedi. We'll get to it. I don't hate it as much as you
okay.
do. But
we'll I don't hate that. It as I don't think anyone hates it as much as Cheapy, but no, I don't
know. People hate it more than me.
Yes, they do. The internet is proof of that.
I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves on this.
Well, we're not talking spoilers yet. That's going to be at the end of the show.
Yes. Yeah, we are going to do a full-on spoiler talk at the end of this.
Yeah. Here's the site plan, the outline for this week's show. We're going to do our top five, our favorite five games of 2017. Each of us have picked five, and we need to do at least a 30 minute spoiler filled discussion on The Last Jedi. At least. Plus, we'll have a little bit of a spoiler free discussion of The Last Jedi before that. Well, before that. That's the plan. Those are the things we need to do for our last show of the year.
I like that they're laying it out for the listeners here.
I think that's helpful.
We're going to tell them what we're going to talk about. Then we're going to talk about it, and then we're going to tell them that we talked about it.
Well, we don't want people to stop listening right now because they think we're going to spoil the movie if they haven't seen it yet. So we want people to be well prepared. Also, Cheapy is not going to spoil the new Call of Duty this year either.
I didn't play it. That way, I figured everybody would be safe.
I know who won.
Do you think that's why that last Call of Duty game didn't sell that well? Because I ruined this.
Why?
Because you spoiled it. Yeah.
That really impacted the sales. You don't have to worry about the Star Wars spoilers. They will be clearly marked, and they'll be at the very end of the show. So everybody can just relax for the next half hour or so. Because I can't wait that long to really get into it. I don't know. Anybody doing anything exciting over the holiday? Anything coming up? Any big New Year's plans?
I'm going to the Long Island Children's Museum on Wednesday if you want to join us.
There's school on Wednesday.
Next Wednesday?
Ty's away. Ty's going to ski camp next week.
Well, never mind. Have fun with Ty at ski camp.
I will. Mm-hmm. It'll just be me and Mrs. Chibi.
I understand.
Yes, I will not be at the Children's Museum next week.
Never mind then.
What are you eating?
Nothing.
What do you mean?
It was just water.
Oh, okay. Shipwreck, anything exciting going on?
I'm going to celebrate Christmas.
Nice.
Yeah, that's coming up. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Are you expecting any big gifts?
I have no idea, and probably not. I'm kind of hard to shop for, I think.
Yeah, because you just buy it if you want something.
Just buy it. Buy it. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're also the kind of person that if you got something that was like not on your radar but kind of nerdy, I think you would like it just to have it. Like if you got a dumb Funko Pop of a character that you had a mild interest in, I don't think you'd be upset.
What'd you send me?
I didn't send you anything. I'm sorry.
Okay, just checking.
G.I. Joe toilet paper.
Yeah, exactly. Like that.
Oh, did you hear the big G.I. Joe movie announcement? They nailed down the date.
2020? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think it's March 27th, 2020. Did you guys get your tickets?
I'm good.
Oh, we're going to have to all watch that. You realize that.
Hopefully
I saw the date come out and I went, oh, I wish that could have been around E3. That way we could afford EX.
Right.
Because that seems perfect.
Yeah, that's what you want.
I bet the first one would have been good in 4DX.
Bet you Last Jedi would be good in 4DX.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all that sitting around would have been perfect.
All that like stupid dialogue, I could just get like stabbed.
Let's not get that far. No, we're getting ahead of ourselves. We said we weren't going to do this.
Right, we're talking about the G.I. Joe movie. Stay on track.
Right.
Stay on target.
Nope.
That's a spoiler.
Stay on track is the G.I. Joe version of that.
Yeah.
All right, let's do show feedback.
Sure. 200 STM has to say, and I'm going to do my best to edit this on the fly. Good episode, CAGcast. With the 100-player games that I've been releasing, I was curious if any of you remember MAG on the PlayStation 3 and how it may have been a little ahead of its time. But unfortunately, it tanked because the servers weren't ready at the time to handle big multiplayer. I hope we can get a Star Wars Last Jedi discussion soon. It looks like there's really mixed views on it. So do you remember the game MAG on the PlayStation 3?
Massive action game, of course.
Yeah. So it is interesting because that was an early attempt at a multiplayer online only game. And yeah, it kind of tanked.
And A for action.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I played it. It was the problem is it wasn't Battle Royale. It was still
right. It was just a multiplayer game with a lot of people.
Right. It was still Team Deathmatch or, you know, Capture the Point or Conquest, whatever you want to call it, the same modes you've been playing. So it wasn't that exciting.
It had some like squad based stuff though, right? Yep. Like you had character classes. I remember playing this a little bit. There was like a free trial or something.
Sure.
I have vague memories of playing it.
There was like a ground that you ran on, maybe some mountains.
Sure, yes, it had ground. The game featured ground.
Guys had helmets. I want to say the guys were helmets.
Enough about MAG, okay? It was fine. It was a fine game. It didn't set the world on fire. But, I don't know. Watch this, bitches. We got there so fast. I love it. I'm so happy. I've been waiting for this for many days now.
You won't shut up about it all day. Like, literally.
I was so happy I made it to my Monday 10:30 a.m. showing of it without you two spoiling it for me.
We did not. I almost did.
Jimmy came close because he forgets where he should be texting. But no, I was good. I actually, because when I saw the movie, I wasn't going to see the movie, but my wife made play dates for both kids on Sunday. And she's like, you have the afternoon to yourself. Maybe you should see Star Wars. And I said, but I think it's sold out everywhere. And I found the theater actually closest to my house had a 12:30 showing where it basically had one seat left, like one good seat left. And I'm like, well, this is a sign. And I had a movie pass in my pocket from when they screwed up the last time I went to the movies. So I went to the theater. I'm like, I'm going to go to the theater and I'm going to see if I can use my pass. And if I can, it's meant to be. And it totally was meant to be. So I saw it.
Oh, wow. And then the kids are away. Maybe you should go see Star Wars by yourself. Is that what it was like?
That's basically what happened. Well,
I'll be fucking the gardener.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Laura was at one of the play dates.
I'll be fucking at the play date.
Yep.
That's
anyway.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So we went and saw it. And then after the movie, I was able to get all my spoiler talk out of my system immediately because my wife was like, how was it? I'm like, well, I don't want to spoil it for you. She goes, I'm never going to see it. And your kids want to know what happens. So
go ahead.
I'm like, all right, well, this is what happens.
Did you tell them it was horrible?
So I got it all out.
You told them it was horrible?
It's not a horrible movie. It's far from horrible.
I didn't like it. I'm going to say, I know a lot of people liked it and I'm happy for you. I personally did not enjoy the movie in really any capacity. I don't have a lot of good things to say about it. I thought, you know, I was laughing at times where you're not supposed to be laughing.
Not laughing at times you're supposed to be laughing.
I was a lot of times, and the other people in the theater as well, spent a lot of time not laughing when you were supposed to be laughing.
Yeah, the jokes in this movie are bad. It's the humor is flat out just
flat, out flat out flat.
It's flat out. It just it stands out when it hits, and it's like who? What, you know, it's a little Marvel-y, you know, when they do the humor.
It doesn't hit like it doesn't work.
It doesn't work, but it doesn't work like Marvel.
Right. It's like weird. That last Thor movie where some of those jokes did not work, but it was most of them did. Mm-hmm. Like it was a great percentage of those jokes worked.
Same with Guardians. I felt the same
with
way.
Guardians. Like you're allowed to have like a stinker every once in a while in there.
They're
like,
machine gunning jokes at you in those movies almost.
Yeah. Right. If 9 out of 10 jokes are funny, I'll let the one slide. If 9 out of 10 jokes are bad, you're gonna notice it.
I think I chuckled like just kind of like a like once in this movie. Like all the rest of the jokes just I was okay. But
yeah, it's
weird that we're starting off a conversation, a spoiler free conversation at this point about jokes in Star Wars.
Well, there were
a lot, but that's just unusual.
Such a weird spot to like when you're sitting down to talk about a Star Wars movie. The jokes are not the thing that you think you would start with.
I think it's a good thing to talk about in a non-spoiler discussion because I don't think that's because you want to talk about the things that aren't good. I mean, there are certain things in this movie that even though I would say I liked it, I have some real problems with one specific character's story arc in this movie. Well, and I feel like it's different than other people's problems with this movie. And
well,
to
we'll
me,
talk about
that's,
that later.
Yeah, but we'll get to that later. Exactly. We'll get to that later. But I think they did a lot of things in the movie that I liked for the choices they made. I think they may have made that kind of choice too many times, but again, we'll get to that later.
Yeah, I wish I could say something positive.
It was nice
about
to look
it.
At.
It was nice to look at. Although I found that it was very dark, the movie. Like most of the scenes take place in ship holds or dark places. Because of course I had another bad viewing experience at a movie theater where the projector was somehow screwed up. And any scene where it was like bright, any outdoor scene or really like well lit scene, you could see in the characters' faces like some weird like clouding.
I would have asked for my money back so fast.
But no. But the thing, my point is that there were so few scenes like that that it was maybe just a couple minutes out of the entire movie.
All right. I actually got lucky because my theater that tends to screw up everything did not screw this up.
Yeah.
They even brought me my cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
No, normally I would go see, they brought you the cheeseburger. Nice. Normally I would see it at a theater that has reserved seating and, you know, I would know like it was a quality theater, but we didn't buy the tickets ahead of time, and we just went to like the small theater in town. But I knew it was playing in their best theater inside the, in their little building there. But still, yeah, the projector was fucked up. But it didn't matter. It didn't affect my. I didn't care really, because the movie was so bad. That was the least of the problems. And like I said, it was dark. It was very dark, so I didn't really notice.
It's not that bad.
It was bad. I just don't like...
I didn't notice it being very dark either.
You didn't?
Yeah.
I noticed just because of that, the technical problem that we had with the projector.
There's that whole middle section where it's actually quite bright.
Where are they? Oh, we can't
I don't want to...
Later. Can we just move on to something else and get back to this?
Yeah, okay. Will you watch something
else?
Just
say if you liked it or not, Chip.
I already said I liked it, and I will go into more details later.
Okay.
I think Shipwreck and I may have liked it, and I think we disliked different things, and I think it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I liked it, and like I went with Gretchen, so we went, and it's one of those things like we got out of the theater and we're like, okay, that was okay.
Ah, okay.
Like, and we both really came away from Force Awakens like pretty jazzed and talking about it a lot.
Oh, okay.
And this one, we just kind of, okay.
Mrs. Cheapy and I were looking at each other throughout the movie. Like, what the fuck? Did that just happen? Like, you kidding me? Like, lame jokes, all that stuff. So, like,
what did Ty think?
You know, Ty thought it was okay. He said he liked it.
Best movie ever.
No, it wasn't best movie ever, because I asked him actually yesterday what his, if it was better than Wonder, which is the movie he saw before this. And he said he liked Wonder better. You know, I noticed during the movie he was very, you know, he was more interested in the popcorn at certain points of the movie.
It's a long movie.
It's a long movie. I just don't think that, I mean, there's little doubt. I know that Star Wars is not as important to him as it was to me when I was that age watching these movies. To me, it was a really big deal. To him, it was a good excuse to eat a big bucket of popcorn and have M&Ms.
Is there anything at his age that is important to him movie-wise? Does he have a Star Wars?
For movies, probably not. Maybe books.
Not books.
Harry Potter, he hasn't seen.
I think it's just, there's, when Star Wars was its thing back in the 70s, early 80s, there wasn't anything else to compete with it.
Oh, yeah. Like, nothing like it.
Right. There's nothing like it. Like, now, you get a sci-fi adventure film every month, at least. Right.
Yep. Totally. I get it.
Oh, no, you're not wrong. It's just, it's very interesting, and it's something I'm trying to relate to with my own children. Like, what is their thing? I mean, Elliot is only 6, so it's not really like he's...
It's not fair to expect much.
Yeah, he's not quite there yet, but Sabrina is, you know, she's 9. And when I was 9 years old, I had seen, I had seen Ghostbusters in the theater by then. I had seen Back to the Future by then. I had seen, basically the movie Indiana Jones, sure. 2 of them.
Yeah.
And those were big things for me, and they kind of, shaped my personality, and for better or worse. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't really have those. Like, her favorite movie of all time is Pixels.
Okay. Well, the difference there too, I think, is that's good.
But you should get her the PS4.
There's so many more. Right, it's really good. Actually, that's what I use. There's so many more kids movies now too, though, that kids don't go see those movies necessarily.
No, and they don't.
Right, like, I mean, every 2 weeks you have a new kids movie coming out.
Also, I think is an interest. I don't think her interest is really, she's not really a movie person, so it's not like I'm gonna force it on.
Sure.
So
it's just that they're not as
Emmeline's still really into Star Wars, so
Sabrina's like, take it or leave it with Star Wars. She likes DC stuff, but the DC movies just haven't really been that good. She really liked the movie Clue. We watched that, we talked about that, but
yeah, it's just, I mean,
you should get her Zelda Clue.
She has the collector's edition coming.
Of Zelda Clue?
No, of Clue, like the fancy silver box Clue.
She should get her the Golden Girls.
What about if it had Zelda in it?
No Zelda in it, no.
I don't know.
So what's this other movie?
Oh, it's a Netflix series called Mindhunter. And it's very good. It takes place, it's a drama that takes place in early 80s, late 70s. And it's about the FBI basically discovering the concept of a serial killer and how that sort of came to be. And it's, it's...
Sounds fun.
No, it is. It's actually, the jokes are funnier than Last Jedi, for sure. everything about it is better than Last Jedi, actually. It's not depressing. It's not like most modern shows on Netflix and Hulu or wherever. It is violent. It's sort of over the top violent. Like, they'll show you graphic images of these crime scenes, which is like so unnecessary, but they do it because they can, I guess.
Well, it's what people want, apparently, because these are all the shows that people like.
Yeah. People like the show. It was a big deal. A lot of people are talking about the show, which I thought it was going to be too much for me, which is why I sort of stayed clear. But we've been running through all our shows, so we started watching Mindhunter. And we're like 3 episodes in. It's a good show. It's not depressing. It's a little disturbing, but it's like a historical drama in a way, even though it takes place in the 80s. I recommend it. I think it's really good.
I hear the 80s are really hot right now.
So hot. It was either that or watching The Punisher, and I can't really bring myself to watch The Punisher.
I haven't gotten very far in that. I wanted to, and then I just kind of...
Try Mindhunter. I think it's got a Silence of the Lambs vibe, but funnier and more sex and nudity and relationships.
All right. I tried to watch that, whatchamacallit?
The cat movie?
Bigfoot special that they added, the Bigfoot documentary they added to Netflix, thinking like, okay, it's available for download. Hopefully it's dumb enough to hold my attention for an hour and a half on the train. Like, that was my thought process. I made it maybe 20 minutes, and it was a long 20 minutes. It is the worst. Like, even for a Bigfoot documentary, it's bad.
What are you watching?
Stuff I can download.
There's got to be better quality stuff out there.
Maybe Mindhunter is downloadable. I'll check it out.
See, this is what... See, when you say you didn't hate The Last Jedi... I think about this.
I just said I didn't like the Bigfoot special. I said it's bad, and I'm recommending that people don't even bother.
Okay. Well, you got a point there. I would just sort of skip past the Bigfoot special. I would say,
well, you know, it was
Bigfoot,
I went to
is kind
Netflix.
Of like a dumb topic. I would maybe just
well,
watch
it's
this.
Dumb because it's, but just because it's dumb doesn't mean it's not fun or enjoyable. That,
okay. You know what? You're making some sense.
And I go on my Netflix, and it was like, you know, they have the alert to let you know what's new.
You liked Harry and the Hendersons.
It's like, and the alert was, well, because I like documentaries, it was, here's a Bigfoot documentary that's brand new.
Hey, Wombat. I'm like, what? Check out this Bigfoot documentary.
And I'm like, what the hell? It's, I'm here, you're here, I'm not wearing any pants, you're not wearing any pants, let's check it out.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. Hey, Knuckle Dragger. Why don't you check out the show on Bigfoot?
You got me pegged.
Yeah. Where are we here? Are we, we're done. We're past Watch This, Bitches, until we get to our Last Jedi spoiler-filled discussion at the end of the show.
Are we in the new releases?
Oh, yeah, we got to get moving because...
We got to get moving. There are no new releases.
Ukulele came out for the Nintendo Switch.
Good so many Nintendo Switch releases this week.
Uh-huh, and every indie game that wasn't out for Nintendo Switch is out. Oh, I don't know how to pronounce that, but I've been playing this Gora Goa game.
It's supposed to be art.
Sure, there's art in it.
I mean, the quality of the game is supposed to be so high that it's basically art.
It reminds me of, so it's at $5. I've been playing it on the iPhone. It's $15 on Switch. It looked like, it's a lot of touching the screen, so it looked like something I would rather play on iPhone, mm-hmm. and it was $10 cheaper.
Yeah.
It reminds me, do you remember that game? It was like a detective type game where you were doing little scenes on the iPhone. What was that game called?
I remember that game.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I played that game even.
Yeah. This is a similar
Hotel Dusk?
Type.
No.
This is, it was like you were.
I remember. That's what I thought he was talking about.
No. This is totally different. So Gora Goa, it doesn't really explain what it's about, but like a picture will be on the screen and you can like click on it and interact with certain things. And then you can like, it's basically four tiles on the screen and you can like take that and expand it down to one of the other tiles and like half the picture comes with it. And it's a bunch of just like puzzle solving where there's not like a whole lot of direction, but it just keeps like kind of unfolding itself. Kids trying to get some apples or something.
Right.
Yeah. It's art. You're right.
Well, but you don't love it like it's fine art, gaming art.
I like it because it's unique, and it's definitely more than like I'm still playing that amazing Katamari, mm-hmm. fantastic Katamari, mm-hmm. whatever amazing, it was called. And I'm still playing that like any iPhone game that gives you like the recharge time and you play for like a minute while you're pooping and then put it away. This is more of a, like, I'm sitting in bed at night, just going to do a, like, a little puzzling before I go to sleep.
Mm. Yeah. Bye. I was thinking about checking it out. I probably
yeah, I think it's worth checking out, definitely, especially like the $15 on the Switch. I don't understand where that extra $10 is going.
Right.
So I would suggest just getting it on the phone because there's no real reason not to.
Okay.
Anything else here?
Just
looks like a bunch of indie games on the Switch and.
Nope.
Oh, that looks like a Japanese word. What's that game on PC there, Chibi?
Holy moly. This one?
Yeah.
Nah, that's too many letters.
What, you mean Hibikake Yuro Rono Kisaki?
That's like 20 letters. 30, 25 yep. letters, maybe.
Hibikake Yuro Rono Kisaki.
That's pretty good. All right, let's...
With a period at the end, apparently, too.
Yes.
All right, we done?
We're done.
All right, let's... how about a,
see you next week.
How about a word from our friends at Harry's? Now's the perfect time. Harry's a great sponsor for all of 2017. Thank you, Harry's. So, what is Harry's? Harry's is all about a great shave at a great price, and that's why over 3 million guys have switched to Harry's. Harry's was started by Jeff and Andy, two guys who were fed up with paying high prices on razor blades at their local drugstore. So they bought a razor blade factory in Germany and start cranking out their own blades. And they sell them direct to you at half the price. I know that I love the sharpness of Harry's blades and the quality of their accoutrements. What would you call those, Wombat? Those, you know, like the shaving balm. And the post-shave bomb. What would you call that?
Can I just call that awesome?
No, I mean, there's a word to describe, like, bombs.
Yeah, sure. Lotion, salves.
Why am I asking Wombat for...
Shaving accessories?
For the right word. Maybe. Anyway, they're all great. Everything you get from Harry's is great. And as a special offener, they'll, no.
And I have problems with words. Right. I have the best words.
I jinx myself by saying that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to harrys.com/cag right now, they'll give you their trial shave set for free when you sign up.
It's a good deal.
It's pretty good. All you got to do is just pay for shipping. That's harrys.com/cag. You'll get a $13 value for free. You'll get a free razor blade handle and razor 5 precision engineered blade razor blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. To get your free trial set, just go to harrys.com/cag right now. That's harrys.com/cag. Thank you, Harry's.
Boom.
Boom. Let's do our favorite five of 2017.
Our fave five of 2017.
Not the top games of 2017. Our favorite five of 2017.
Yep, the games that we played and enjoyed and told our friends about.
Yes.
Who's going first?
Shipwreck.
Shipwreck.
I'm gonna go first. Okay.
Number five. Number five.
Number five.
Okay.
I
whittled my list down to 6 games.
Okay,
and decided I would just do a random number generator to determine which one I.
You can do an honorable mention. One honorable mention.
Okay, well, I'll figure out what that is at the end when one of them doesn't make the cut. Right. So it looks like my number 5 game of the year is favorite game of the year is Golf Story.
Hmm.
For the Nintendo Switch, I talked about that quite a bit.
2 episodes at least.
Yeah, yeah, because it's a long game. It's like I think it took me like 20 hours to beat it. And it was an enjoyable 20 hours. I never felt like it was a slog.
Nice.
Yeah, clever writing, like good progression. Like all the different courses are very varied.
Is the ending sad?
So exciting. You're yawning in the middle of your description of it. I can't wait.
I didn't yawn.
All right.
I took a breath because I was just
breathless,
speaking so fast. Yes. The ending, it's good. It's good. The ending is good. Yeah. There's lots of little extra stuff in there as well. I never tried the multiplayer. That's in there as well. I don't know. It was a good value.
Cool.
Excellent. All right, Cheapy, you're up. What was your fifth favorite game of 2017? Number five.
So you're going to yell at me for choosing this because you're going to say I'm not allowed to choose it.
Okay, what?
But I played so much of it in 2017 that...
So much of what?
Of Overwatch.
Oh, I'll allow it.
I mean, you know, they kept the game fresh, more new characters, new game modes. I know it didn't come out this year, but it was my most played game on Xbox, according to...
Well, it was an early access last year, right?
No.
Yeah, that's it. It's fine. We'll let it go.
I mean, I played so much of it. And I still play I still play it. I mean, what can I say? I like
nothing.
It.
Nothing. Good for you.
It's fun for the whole family. All right.
Well, it's funny is you picked your most played game on the Xbox as your fifth favorite game of 2017. I also picked my most played game on the Xbox as my fifth favorite game of 2017, but it's a very different game. It is Mass Effect Andromeda. I may be the only person that puts this on any type of list.
Right.
I think it was on some types of lists.
Yeah. I don't get me wrong. That game has some serious problems. But I also played about 80 hours of it,
right.
Finished it, and it does do some things right. You know, the combat is enjoyable. The RPG elements are enjoyable. The biggest problem that game had was it just was the mission structure, the quest structure. Because there would be quests that were really 2 minutes long that had 3 minutes of load time stuck in the middle of them.
Quality.
If they had somehow were able to have streamlined that, it may have actually done a lot better and people may have enjoyed it more because it would have.
I think its biggest problem was the ending of Mass Effect 3.
Right, I'm sure it didn't help either. And the fact that it was a rush job and there was, you know, this game had a lot going against it. And when you see everything that it had going against it, the fact that it gets as much right as it does for a game of its size is pretty impressive. So I put it down as my number five favorite game of 2017. Time for number four.
Number four. four.
Okay, Chief, you're up. What's your fourth?
All right. My fourth favorite game of 2017 is South Park, The Fractured Butthole. Butthole.
Nice.
I mean, Fractured Butthole.
Butthole. Butthole.
I finished it. It took me about 20 hours, maybe a little less. But I really enjoyed the game a lot. I thought the story was very funny. The writing was great. It really felt that like I was in a 20-hour long South Park episode and that I was controlling the characters. It was a very high quality product, I thought. My only complaint was the buddies. There's like a buddy system in the game where you're basically summoning your friends to solve these very simple puzzles, but they're sort of time consuming because you got to summon the guy and then you got to watch his animation and do these things. It gets a little tiring towards the 20-hour mark, but other than that, I thought it was just extremely well done, and I would recommend it to any fan of South Park.
Sounds good. I'll go next.
Number four.
So it's funny because I'm looking at my list and I feel like I want to change it at the last minute and swap it out. But I think I'm going to do like a double. I'm going to have a tie for fourth because I put down.
It matters this much.
Exactly. It does not because the rules don't matter. It's our list and so we can do whatever we want. So tied for fourth, I have. And again, because it may not count, we'll see how the reaction is. I put down Forza Hot Wheels.
Right. The expansion. Okay.
It's an expansion, but it's so different from the rest of the game. And I played a good chunk of it with my son, and we had a good time. So I put that on there because it's so cool.
I mean, if I can say Overwatch, you can say the Hot Wheels expansion.
Hold on. I'm penciling in Qbert. I'm
I mean, it's not like the rest of the game at all. It's completely different. It's Hot Wheel tracks come to life in a exciting video game way. They have the, you know, some Hot Wheel stylized cars. It was just so cool and such a novel idea and a nice departure yet in an arcade, making an arcade racer more arcadey. Is never a bad thing for me, and I had to put it on the list somewhere.
Nice. Yeah, no, it's good.
Yeah. My other honorable mention at the number four slot.
Wait, so do you have a number three as well?
Yes.
I'll have a number three as well, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. There's the top three games are kind of, they're big, so I can't, so it's like everything below the top three, it's like, this would really be like my number sixth honorable mention. And that's going to be Lego Marvel Heroes 2, which, you know, I played.
It was the Lego game that released this year.
Right.
Yeah. It's a very good Lego game. If you enjoy those kind of games, you know, you're not going to be upset with it. I played through the entire game co-op with Sabrina, and it's the first time we actually played the whole game together co-op. And we finished the story together. We're still unlocking characters because there's over 200 characters in the game, which when you look at something like compared to like a Lego Dimensions where you had to buy all the characters, getting 200 characters with your purchase price that you don't have to collect is kind of cool. So
I'll buy it when it's cheap.
Yeah, exactly. You'll buy it when it's cheap. You'll enjoy it. It's got some fun little elements to it. The open world is fairly large in it, and I am going to put it as my honorable mention before we hit our big top threes. And Shipwreck, what is your number four?
My number four is Yooka-Laylee. Similar to you, I played a lot of that with my daughter. So she enjoyed playing it, watching me play, and I know it's not like the perfect game, but it does a really good job of recreating like that N64 era of platforming. So, and I enjoy that.
I get it.
Yeah. Go get it. It's really cheap.
I have it.
Very perfect.
I haven't played it, but I have it.
Great. I have that Mass Effect game too.
You haven't played it. So.
Same.
we're all terrible people. Number three. I guess I have to go first this time.
Sure.
Right? All right. My number three game for 2017 is a little game called Mario Odyssey. Odyssey?
It's also my number three.
Nice.
Yeah. That game is a lot of fun. That game is as enjoyable a Mario experience, I think, as one could have. It has charm out the wazoo. If you don't play that game and smile, then you are probably dead. It was a great game to play for me. It was a great game for my kids to play. It was a great game for us to all sit together and play. It brings back memories while doing something new, which is not a small compliment to give that game. I hope they make another one before the life cycle of the Switch is over.
I hope they make another Super Mario game.
Well, I hope they make like another Super Mario Odyssey style game before the end of the Switch's life cycle, which, yeah, I think that's a pretty big ask.
I think that is a big ask.
Yeah, I know.
Obviously this was a Wii U game that they took forever to get out.
Yeah. So.
Again, Emmeline just wants to play that nonstop, which I mean is just watching me play it.
Yeah.
But we're right at the end of it. Like we're just getting ready to fight Bowser. But I'm still mixed on the art style of this game, though. That's what holds it back from going higher for me, is just that some of the art style choices, and I know it's on purpose, but some of them are just off putting to me and not pleasant to look at.
I get that. I think they tried to make everyone look so different on the different planets that may not always work, but I think the pluses far outweigh the minuses.
That one really bright world near the end, that one is a pain to look at to me.
Yes. Sorry.
That's okay. I mean, it's still my number three favorite game of the year.
I know, which is a pretty big compliment. Chibi, what is number three?
Number three is Destiny 2.
Now, do you want to talk more about that, or do we want to table it? Because I feel like someone else in the room has it much higher on their list.
Right. Well, you don't have it on your list?
I do. Just not at number three.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll just say, I haven't played any of the new content that just came out, but I played so much of the base game that I got up to 290 something, and I didn't play really any of the first Destiny game. I know that a lot of people have, the hardcore players have some problems with the game. I sort of stopped playing when I got up to like the high 290s because, I don't know, why did I stop playing?
It's what you do.
It's just, you know, I put in, I don't know, I must have put in 30 hours at least.
Oh, at least. More than that.
Way more, right?
Way
60,
more than
60 that. Hours maybe?
Probably.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a great game. I'm going to wait, though, I think, on buying the content to see how it shapes up.
Yep, that was that's my number two game. So
okay.
It's basically everything you said, except I got not the high 280s, not in the low 290s.
I kept going farther than you, I think. I kept playing after you stopped.
But again, that shows a commitment to that game and the enjoyment of that game. And that, you know, there was a lot of the first Destiny, and I played a lot of the first Destiny, that I wasn't too keen on. And this game kind of, you know, solves that in the sense that I could come home and I could play that game for 45 minutes and just kind of get my shooter fix out of it and enjoy that and enjoy what the game had to offer. And it's a very good shooter. It's got, you know, it's very comfortable in that realm.
Yeah.
I know that there's a lot of people that have a lot of problems with the game, and I think the people that have a problem with that game are the people that really take it a lot more serious than probably the three of us.
Those are the people that's the game that they play, I think.
Yeah.
Like, that's their game.
For them, it's as much a platform as it is a game.
Right.
And I understand that frustration, so if you're angry that we like it so much, just, you know, we get why you don't like it that much. It's just those aren't the concerns we have when playing a game.
Right. I got my money's out of it. My money's worth.
Exactly.
Sure.
For
sure.
So should I just go ahead and say it's my number one?
Yeah, well, we knew it.
Yeah.
We knew that.
I played that. I bought a TV for that. Gretchen and I played that like every night for like 2.5 months.
Pretty solid.
We've taken a little bit of a break since the we have not played the DLC at all either.
Since you remembered you had a second kid,
right? Well, we should do something about that.
He looks hungry.
No, actually, it's because the Emmeline has been like waking up around like 11 p.m. at night and eating one of us, and that like hits right at the time where we would be getting into Destiny pretty hard,
right? Really? That's what time I'm getting ready to hit the pillow pretty hard.
Well, that's how kids work. And, yeah.
you remember you had those times once. It's just you're past it.
Yeah. Right. But no, I like Cheapy, I did not enjoy Destiny 1 at all, but just something about this where it's just easy to sit down and play it for an hour and a half.
It's so playable, and it looks really good. The art, I love the art.
Yeah, it looks really good. There's a good, I think what helped and got like Gretchen to be wanting to play it in co-op was that it had a decent story, like a good enough storyline in the campaign to begin with. And then once you're into that and into the loot, I mean, we never play online multiplayer, like competitive games, but we're in there because we have to be, and it's not so bad.
Right.
So,
all right.
Yeah, that's I see plenty of faults in the game.
Yep.
It's by no way the best game,
right?
But
yeah,
extremely playable and extremely enjoyable. Yeah.
So what's your number two? Number two!
My number two is The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
But that game is crap!
Crap!
Still number two.
Yeah, it is number two.
It's just Wombat. You and I just make fart noises and poop noises. That shit. Yeah,
it'll be like we need that music, the Jurassic Park music from the No Man's Sky.
It's a great game. I understand that you guys, it didn't click with you guys,
right?
But just the amount of creativeness that you could like just go out and do whatever you wanted to in that game was pretty phenomenal.
My Switch says I played 20 hours of that game and I don't believe it.
I bet you did.
I really gave that game a shot.
That's fine. I mean, not everything has to be for everybody.
No, it does not. And I'm okay with that, too. I should preface that. I think it's fine that you love that game. It's okay.
Oh, I don't even know that I love it. I just think it was my time with it, which I think I spent, I don't know, 60-something hours with it. I did not love it so much that I wanted to do all the extra, like, go and find everything. Like, I definitely, like, loved it. Got to a point like, all right, let's go kill Ganon. And I just like booked it right to the top of the castle. But like everything, just the open world there's just like so many little secrets buried in it. I certainly wish it had better storytelling and all of that. But are you one of the characters talking?
Weep, 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 weep. Beep, beep, beep. You sound like Itchy and Scratchy.
What was your number two, Wombat?
Well, we already said it was Destiny 2.
I didn't go yet. Mine was Horizon Zero Dawn.
Okay, I remember that was that one game. Of my honorable mentions.
Okay.
Yes.
Fantastic
That's
game.
That's a very good game. That would also be an honorable mention for me as well.
Yeah.
Right. Probably higher on my list if I would have finished it.
That is exactly where I am.
I finished it.
Really dense game.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. But the thing is, you wind up not doing the main story, even though the main story is good and very well done. But it's fun just to kill the robot dinosaurs. And there's a lot of side missions and opportunities to just kill robot dinosaurs. So you can get hung up very easily. And
I like, we've talked about it before. Like I'm big on icons on a map.
There's a lot.
I think in clearing them off, I think this game would have benefited from not having that system. That all that stuff could have still been there, but not knowing that it was all there would have helped.
Yeah.
Like you could have done what you found and not felt like I know it's my issue,
sure,
but I'm gonna
sure.
have to go chase these
it
things.
It would keep the story moving too a little.
Right. Quicker. It would keep me like going forward instead of like spending I spent a long time on this game.
Mm-hmm.
Like I at least put 20 hours in, I'm sure. And it was just in that first area for the most part.
Yeah. Yep. Horizon Zero Dawn, number two. So that's everybody's number two, right?
Yeah. We're up to number one.
Number one. Shipwreck, you went already.
I did.
Wombat.
It was still Destiny 2.
Yes, my number one, much to everyone's surprise, is Injustice 2. Injustice 2.
Tell me about the loot boxes.
I'm telling you, that game scratches so many itches for me. It ticks so many boxes. We all know my feelings on DC comic book characters. I have a slight DC fanboy. It's got Batman in it. It's got Superman in it. It's got weird ones like Dr. Fate and Swamp Thing in it. It is a gorgeous game to look at. The facial animations in that game are maybe the best facial animations I've ever seen in a game. I've played it every day since I've had the game, which I think is in June. I'll do like a quick like 3-round multiverse mission just to, like Shipwreck said, I'll get a couple of loot boxes and I'll open them up and I'll put a new hat on someone. And I'm like, yeah, Red Hood's got a new hat, and Red Hood looks awesome. Right before we did this show, I did a 5-round thing. I was finally able to get my Red Hood to level 7 and put my level 7 gear on him, and he looks awesome. I should have more level 20 characters by now. The fact that I only have 3 is kind of sad. It was a game that I was able to play with Sabrina, so that also gives it a little uptick. The downloadable content has been interesting, the extra, you know, the added characters, and there's still 2 more characters to come, and one of them is all 4 Ninja Turtles. You know, there's a lot about this game that's exciting and fun and that keeps you going. I've been doing that. They have a holiday event going on right now, and that's been interesting. And again, it's just the game is a lot of fun, and you can play it for, you know, you play it for 15 minutes a day. You know, I come home, I finally have the kids to bed. I can play something for 15 minutes where I'm Batman and I get to punch someone in the face for 15 minutes. That's a good way to wind down.
Good shit. All right.
Injustice
2.
Injustice 2. It's on sale right now on all consoles.
All right. What do you got? Your Warner Brothers stockholder?
I get a kickback every time. No, I want more people to join my guild on the Xbox. Join my guild.
Didn't even know that was a thing. All right.
Yeah, there's guilds. And if you join my guild, I get boxes and coins and things.
I should buy this on Xbox just so I can play against you online and just destroy you.
I actually played my first round online ever tonight.
Was it brutal?
No, I won.
What?
I know. I'm as surprised as you. The guy quit immediately after I won.
He probably asked you, do you want a rematch? He threw the game in the garbage. Like, no. Right in the garbage. Yeah. He's like, I've learned all these combos, and this guy just spammed low kick.
I used my level 20 Superman, who has pretty intense gear, and he has a... Because you could also unlock new moves, like actual new moves for your characters. And I have one where Superman takes a giant boulder and throws it at the guy.
Right.
And I was able to pull that off twice. Right. And that was pretty much... But I think the best thing about this game also for Shipwreck is they're going to use a lot of the things that work for Injustice in the next Mortal Kombat game. And I'm also now really excited for the next Mortal Kombat game.
Good.
Good.
Yep.
Get over here.
Get over here.
All right.
I'm very interested to see all the different Scorpion outfit stuff they're going to throw in that game. That's going to be fun.
All right. My number one pick for my favorite game of 2017 is PUBG. I played a lot of PUBG this year.
But that game is garbage.
Game is kind of broken. Actually, I just downloaded the latest drivers for GeForce cards, and I had perfect performance. I played a match. It seemed like 60 frames per second. I was playing in first person mode, but whatever. It was perfect. Anyway, I mean, I was playing today on Xbox One, and it's on the One X, and it's still, you know, it got a little better after the latest update. It's still got a long way to go for sure. Like a long, long way to go. That being said, I made it to number 3 and I had 6 kills, and I swear, like, by the end of the match, like, my heart was racing, my palms were sweating. It was really intense, and there's just not many games that can give me a heart attack like that. And that's PUBG, and that's why I picked PUBG as my favorite game of 2017. Boop. That's it.
Awesome. We did it.
We did it.
We all have all 3 of us have different favorite games.
That's fun.
I think that's interesting.
Sure.
And, you know, only one of us had a favorite game that even made our other lists. And that was Shipwreck's Destiny.
Yeah, only one.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I win.
Has Shipwreck even played Injustice 2? Do you own it at all?
No.
I don't know.
Later.
I played it at Cheapies, like two rounds.
Yep, I remember.
All right, come on. We're wasting time. Let's wrap this up now so we can move on to our spoiler-filled Last Jedi talk.
We're ready to end it.
Okay.
So let's get to the end.
So let's just thank our listeners for listening to us through 2017 and probably a lot longer than that. And our sponsors, Harry's and HelloFresh especially, who really were great sponsors this year. Hopefully we'll see them next year. And follow us on Twitter @GBD, @NewWombat, @Shipwreck, @VideoGameDeals. Facebook.com/ebassgamer. And I think that's it. Stay tuned for our Last Jedi spoiler-filled discussion. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas.
Bread's done.
All right, we're ready.
We're ready. This is it. This is your last and final warning. Spoiler talk for The Last Jedi starts in 3, 2, 1, boo. Okay, so what did you hate the most about this movie?
No. How we have to figure out how to talk about this movie.
Well, I would say literally we could. I have no problem talking about this basically from the beginning and moving forward. You know, where the movie opens. I mean, basically, when the movie opens, starts right from where The Force Awakens ended.
Mm-hmm.
And my biggest problem with this movie is right at the beginning. My biggest problem with this movie, and a movie that I mostly liked, is Poe. And I think what they did with this character in this movie is not redeemable.
Because Poe disobeys a direct order, gets a lot of people killed, doesn't seem to have really any remorse about it whatsoever at any point during the movie. Then later in the movie commits mutiny.
Mutiny, treason, whatever.
Call it mutiny when it's on a ship. And
his dumb plan probably gets more people killed.
And doesn't really seem to face any consequence for any of those
things. No consequences for it at all.
He gets demoted.
He's going to be the leader next movie.
Right, right.
Exactly, but he's not redeemable.
That's his reward.
He's not a redeem. There's no... He should not... He is the villain of this movie.
I don't know that he's the villain.
He kills more people than the bad guys. He is the villain of this movie.
He's somewhere in the same ballpark. I don't know. We'd have to
fine.
Have to really do the
I'll
math.
I'll take he's even with the bad
guys. Right. Okay. Yes.
He is just as bad as the worst people in this movie.
They laid on his character flaw too thick.
And it didn't
he
have
He's just
to
a fly
be...
boy, guys. Yeah. Just that the crazy fly boy.
It's like, and I feel like there should have just been like just simple script edits, you know, in the very beginning of the movie when Leia's like, it's time to go, and he's like, but I think we have a chance to take out this dreadnought. And if you had just Leia say okay, like, oh, if you think we can pull this off, then you have the green light, go ahead and do it.
Yeah,
you know, and instead of it being him disobeying an order,
yeah,
have it be her order, because then when it still fails, it's still on him that it failed because he was the one who thought they could do it. And then he has that guilt.
But it's not a crime.
He has the guilt without it being a crime. The crime part was unnecessary. Even I guess we're going to get right into this. That whole middle section, the casino.
Whoa, you're going too fast.
No. We're not at the casino.
Yeah.
We're near that
so
casino.
So I'm only
yet.
Talking about that beginning.
Well, like, talk about, how about the whole opening dialogue with like, hello, can you hear me? Are you there?
Yeah,
can you hear me now? Well, can you hear me now?
I'm willing to forgive a bad joke.
That, yeah, and that's at least made his character, that was similar in character to what he was in the first movie. It was a little bit more over the top, but it was at least somewhat likable.
Yeah,
if he's
Solo
not the
style.
Villain of the, if right. That was the worst thing he did in this movie,
sure,
then I'd be then I would then who cares?
I know, but, the, but the, when the movie
he
started
made, he
off
spent
that
15
way,
se- yeah,
it was sort of left. Yeah. It was like a very bad first impression for me.
It is a bad first impression of. I agree,
but you were excited that Hux was on screen.
I was excited.
That was fine. I'm happy to see Hux. And
anytime I could see a handsome redhead on screen, you know, I'm on board.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But like overall, like this starts at the beginning and continues throughout the movie for me. My issue with the movie is that it sets up interesting like set pieces or situations, and then it consistently made a choice that I didn't think it should have made. And that's fine. That's what the director was going for. But it made it not enjoyable to me because it didn't link into what they had set up in the previous movie. Which
I would makes say sense that, yeah.
in that you gave the movie, you gave this trilogy, like this continual story, to different directors and writers for some reason. I don't understand the thought process there.
Right. I get what they were trying to do with this movie. And, you know, none of these decisions are made in a vacuum. I don't think you can just make those decisions and have it fly. I think some of them totally worked. And I know
what worked. Tell me some stuff that worked. I'd love to hear what worked.
I think the big Rey reveal for me worked.
What's the big Rey reveal? I don't even know what
that there is. There's nothing.
The nothing was revealed.
Yeah, that she's nothing. She's
Luke,
just an orphan girl.
Luke. I don't know who your father is, or he's just some guy.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I see, and I liked that. Okay. I'm like, yeah, who cares who her parents
what
are?
What else worked?
I liked them killing Snoke. Slicing him in half. I honestly like that whole scene. I like that whole scene.
Okay, the scene is fine.
The Red Room.
You can't like Snoke's story arc.
He has nothing. You know nothing about him.
No, and you don't need to. I think that's the whole point. Is who cares? Who cares who Snoke is? Everybody cared. Was pulling the strings for Kylo Ren, but it's Kylo Ren's movie, and I think his character arc is killing Snoke. And that's what makes him more interesting, and I care more about Kylo Ren than I do.
But it felt like this was a movie that was establishing characters again, when we just had a movie that established characters.
And I think that's sort of, and I agree with you, and I think that's some of where the flaws are, but I think the characters that they needed to establish better, I don't think Snoke was one of them. I think he's expendable. I do.
Well, they only established two in this movie, Rey and Kylo Ren.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only two that had any kind of growth or anything.
Yeah. And I agree. Well, no, you could also say Poe because he becomes the villain.
Right, because he commits mutiny. That's noteworthy. Because
he commits mutiny and mass murder. So those three characters. Finn doesn't get enough to do. That is true.
He doesn't get enough to do.
It's what he does is unnecessary and doesn't make sense for the rest of the plot. But I liked what they did with Rey. I liked what they did with Rey. I liked the scenes with her and Luke.
You did?
I did. I liked the mind meld with her and Kylo Ren.
That was so dumb. That was
I thought
dumbest
their conversations were appropriately
That was
awkward.
Some of the most interesting stuff in the movie, though, yeah. was that interaction. It ended up being nothing.
Right.
Well, it ended up being nothing.
That was the most disappointing.
See, I think they had a chance there.
So go back to that throne room scene.
Yeah, at the end of the throne room scene when they're talking.
Yeah, I don't know why the Crimson Guards attacked them, but they chose that was their best course of action
because it was a great action scene.
That's the motivation for them. I'm going to get killed here, but it's going to be cool.
Perfectly okay with in a Star Wars movie. These guys are going to attack these two guys, and I'm going to get to watch a really cool fight scene
where nobody uses the Force.
Right. That was pretty sweet too.
How nobody uses the Force, just like a boring.
Well, you know, they use lightsabers.
No lightsaber on lightsaber action in the movie.
Right. Nobody ever clash lightsabers in this movie. But you get to that point and it's like, okay, something interesting is going to happen here. Like either Kylo is going to come to the good side or Rey's going to go to the bad side.
Right.
And then that's what we're going to have to resolve in this next movie is like, how do we deal with this?
And the fact that they split up, and I don't disagree with you.
They didn't split up, they never got together.
In the exact same way that they just were.
Yeah, well.
He asks her
to join her to rule the galaxy together as
she should have said yes. It would have been a lot more interesting.
If she had said yes, also, it's, you know, he didn't say join me and we'll destroy everyone.
Not at all.
He said join me and we'll, you know, rule the galaxy.
Yeah.
We'll work together. Yeah. Maybe she could have been like, you know what? Maybe you should let these guys, the resistance, just let them go. How about you and I hang back? We'll have something to eat and we'll plan something that maybe involves a lot less mass murder.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought that would be interesting. And it's a great way to set up the next movie because it's something to look forward to. Like, oh my God. And you could be thinking about that for the next 2 years.
Basically, the third movie could have been and I know that people would shudder at the thought, but almost like the opposite of episode one, where it's instead of a system falling apart, the government system falling apart, it's the rebuilding of a government system, which could work because there would be people against it because, you know, Hux could take his own thing and now you have an evil resistance. That could have been a very interesting third movie.
Right, right. I agree. Like, they reset everything back to the exact same place we were at before the movie started.
With fewer resistance people. I think
right, more dead people.
Resistance people.
With more dead people. I mean, I get, again, I think I get what Rian Johnson was going for. He wanted it to
be... He hates Star Wars.
He doesn't hate Star Wars.
He's never seen a Star Wars movie before.
He wanted the movie to end with these are the characters, and moving forward, it's just about these people.
But it didn't have to be that. All you have to do is write the story about those characters. You don't have to kill off these other ones and have this movie.
I'm not saying he was right to make the choice. I'm saying this is what he was thinking.
You're right. He wanted...
Thematically, it just wasn't a Star Wars movie because it could have been a Star Wars movie. It just doesn't fit with that one that they just did
there's not a sense of fun. There's not a sense of swashbuckling.
There's not
adventure.
Even a sense of good and evil. It's like,
it's very gray.
You go in and I don't need gray in my Star Wars. Like, this is supposed to be,
I don't mind gray
escapism.
In my Star Wars. I don't mind gray in my Star Wars. It's just not everyone needs to be gray. I don't mind.
Everybody's
gray. Yeah, I don't mind gray Luke Skywalker. I think the movie would have had more impact if it was only a gray Luke Skywalker. Like, if he was the only one that was gray and everyone else was clearly defined, it would actually make old Luke Skywalker very interesting because it would stand out. But for some reason, they didn't do that, and I don't quite get it.
Well, it's because they were really hammering home the anybody can be anything. Anybody can be a hero. Anybody could be a villain. There's we're really going for this. There's a balance here.
Can we talk
there's
about
no good? There's no evil. Everybody buys weapons.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Oh, it was
that whole casino.
I felt like I was being preached to, and I didn't know why. I didn't know
it's
why.
It's not my fault. I didn't buy any weapons. Right? I didn't do anything. I'm just eating popcorn.
Oh my god! They freed those horses though, and that made it all worth it.
Can we just talk about the biggest travesties in the movie? There's like, because there's several fuck ups.
So the outer space fight scenes were good.
Sure,
I really liked the plot line of the rebels and the Empire. Well, I'll just call it the First Order.
Right.
I like
space
that,
chase.
The space chase. I like
fine. That's
that
it's another example of a interesting setup.
Exactly. That slow moving. Where they can't go any faster or slower, and the other ship can't go any faster or slower, and they're sort of stuck in this slow-moving chase that inevitably is going to come to some sort of a conclusion, but there's nothing
they
can do.
The Empire or the First Order isn't smart enough to call in some more of their fleet from somewhere else.
Somewhere else. It doesn't
cut them off.
And again, I'm willing to concede to this because right. I think it's interesting. Kind of like the idea of they're in the vastness of outer space and yet it's still very claustrophobic. These are really interesting ideas that could make for a very interesting and different Star Wars movie without them throwing in all the stupid crap that they threw in to also try to make it a different Star Wars movie. Because it was already a very different type of Star Wars movie. So, yeah. And those are the problems I had. Like, here's this really good idea, but we're going to layer more dumbness on top of it and maybe add in a couple of plot holes.
Speaking
kind
of dumbness,
ruin this.
Can we talk about Leia in space?
Leia in space was dumb, yes. But again, Leia in space and being dumb, which I agree with.
It's not bad enough on its own, though. Like,
exactly.
I can look past it and go, all right, she is a badass Jedi. But then if they're going to layer on top of that anybody could be that, then why is Ackbar, who's been around for so long, just dead out there in space? Why didn't he just go, oh yeah, I'm going to float back?
Well, she clearly has been practicing. But
Ackbar, though?
And how come Ackbar and Leia have the same voice? That's what I want to know.
Wah, wah. I think, it's like, you know, I can look past a quick 30-second dumb scene. What I can't look past is they could say the ship can't get a signal out to get reinforcements, but it can send a ship out with Finn and Rose to the casino planet. They could leave, go to this well-populated and clearly modern.
Why did they just send a signal from there?
Why didn't they send the signal for that?
Why can't a giant fucking spaceship send a signal? Also, how about that?
Yeah. Why couldn't they come back with more fuel?
Why couldn't they buy more gas? They don't sell gas in the galaxy.
In Casino Land, they couldn't have maybe put 10 people on there instead of 2 people on there. There's all these things that just didn't.
Well, or if they could they didn't do that because.
Well, if they could send to
Admiral Purple
Hondo. Admiral Hondo
told them not to do that. Like, that was the whole. They wrote some reasoning in there for why that couldn't
happen.
There's
no reason why they couldn't send two or three people at a time on and off that ship.
Well, I don't have a problem.
Clearly, they did it.
I don't have a problem with them going down to the casino. This whole, like, again, it's the setup of this. They're going to go down there. They're going to find this guy. Then they're going to break into the First Order ship and turn off this thing. And it's going to be this whole, like, interesting subplot. But they go down there and they meet this really crappy character.
Mm-hmm. Who's terrible.
That is terrible. It's just terrible. Like, I don't know why.
And again, it's
a well-known actor to be a terrible character. But it pulls you right out of it. He's sitting there preaching to you about how there's no good and there's no evil. And then nothing comes of this plan.
And nothing comes of the plan. And it does that, you know, and I get it. They were trying to say, like, this is where you think we're going to zig, but we're going to zag. And that works, like, twice. You know, if they did it with just Snoke and just Rey and didn't do it with this stupid casino world, like, say the casino plan went according to plan, the casino thing wouldn't bother you as much because it's not like, okay, we get it. You're doing the opposite of what we think is going to happen in a Star Wars movie. But you can only do it so many times before it gets annoying. And there was no reason to go to the casino planet. You know, if there's no reason plot-wise where Rose couldn't have been smart enough to hack that computer door. Especially since they did it with her necklace. Like, she could have been standing at the... It actually would have had more impact if she was staring at the computer door and couldn't figure it out and looked down at her necklace and, like, shoved it in and the door opened. It may have done something. Or even...
This is minutia. It doesn't even matter. I mean, like, they...
But it does matter. It matters a lot because, again, they added a character in 40 minutes of the movie that didn't need to be there.
No, I agree. At this point, like... They've already blown it. Like, these are little small things after introducing a
character. Yes. That whole plot was unnecessary because that plan didn't need to happen because Purple Hair had a plan and her plan was the better plan. What I don't understand is, I understand that she's mad at Poe, but if you know he's a hothead flyboy, why not let him in on the plan? He's also your best pilot and he's going to have to man these shuttles to get people down. Let him in on the plan.
Yep, that was
it's
dumb,
important. Yeah. It's important that he knows. And then he could have said, oh, I was thinking that maybe we should have Finn and Rose go onto the ship and try to, you know, reroute their sensors. If we do both of these things, it increases our chances of getting these shuttles down. And then Purple Hair would have been like, you know what? I'm willing to sacrifice these two people in order to save the other 100 people on here,
right.
Go ahead and do it. So now it's a sanctioned mission.
Sure.
Again, as opposed to Poe making a boneheaded decision and getting more ships blown up.
Well, they're trying to make him into even worse Han Solo.
But he is, because he's the bad guy. Like, that decision and not let, you know, it's like, I don't understand
maybe
why
he
they,
is. Maybe he's going to be bad in the next movie.
Maybe he is. I can't see
anything.
He's
not, because it's going to be back to J.J. Abrams now.
Yeah, and he's going to be.
This is all going to get, like, washed away somehow.
He's going to be all bright teeth, smiley face.
Making out with Finn.
Yeah. He should have gone with them, too. Like, it would, instead of replace Benicio del Toro, you take out the casino scene, the three of them, Finn, Rose,
you don't even take out the casino scene. You put Lando down in the casino.
Yeah.
That is who you went to see.
Right. Ruin his character. Make sure you ruin his character like you did for everybody else in the other movies.
We need a code breaker. Like, you don't need a code breaker.
Right. And then he sweet talks his way on to the First Order ship.
Mm-hmm.
It goes
I'm
great.
Here to check your garbage disposals. Right this way, sir.
He charms the pants off of Phasma and they're in.
So that would have worked too. Anything else would have been better than I think what they did. And I also don't like Finn trying to escape. I wasn't a big fan of that.
Everybody's
we got past his cowardice in the first movie, I thought.
It's like, back. That was,
and right. and again, it didn't really make sense. And it's also a simple script tweak. He's not trying to escape. He's just trying to get to Rey. Because if you remember, he hasn't seen Rey since he was in a coma. And he doesn't know what happened to her. And he wants to make sure she's fine. And he's a little crazy obsessed. That's fine. Where are you going? Are you trying to escape? No, I'm really not. I'm trying to get to her. Before he could even say it, she zaps him and stuns him. Same exact movie. Same exact scene. I'm changing like four words of dialogue.
They just didn't need his character in this movie, and that was a problem because he was one of the big three characters.
Mm-hmm. Well, he does find love.
Did he?
Well, love is one of the things that will save us, maybe.
I don't know.
But there's no good...
Moving rocks will save you. You know what else? Maybe you remember, because it's completely blacked out of my mind. How does Rey get off the bad guy's spaceship and into the Millennium Falcon?
Spacewalk?
I honestly don't know. It's like sacrifices herself.
I don't remember. Like, okay, so they fight over the lightsaber and it breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Kylo gets knocked out. She gets up. I guess she just leaves.
She just leave.
She went there on her own volition, right?
Yeah,
she got in that little pod.
Chewbacca? Yeah, she went because she didn't even go in the Millennium Falcon. You're right.
No, she went in that coffin thing.
She went in the coffin thing,
which was very dumb.
So how did Chewbacca? like, did she have something on her to say to Chewbacca? Like,
well, she was wearing the bracelet, right?
Yo, but Space that had Uber. Nothing to do with Chewbacca. That was
I know things.
I don't. Like, I really don't know. And again, these are the kind of things that I probably wouldn't have noticed in a better movie.
Well, she got off of there. It's not...
Right.
That doesn't...
She got off of there and nothing happened. That's all you need to know.
Right.
Except Luke died for no reason.
He died giving people hope, but the rest of the movie, everybody's miserable, and I'm not even sure why they need hope.
And I'm not even anti that whole scene, that whole end with the
Force Ghost. I'm fine. I'm just it doesn't fit with the themes that were hammered home the rest of the movie.
And that's also the only thing that kind of went. It's the only time where they did zig and not zag, because I was expecting Luke to die.
Right.
Like, I was expecting him to die, but not in like a really shitty way.
I sat down in my chair and the credits opened. I'm like, all right, this is the end of Luke Skywalker. I knew that was coming.
Do you know, the scene at the very end, and he's on the rocks there looking at the sunset in his yoga pose, straining himself, and he saves the day, and I think to myself, oh, at least they didn't kill off Luke.
Right, and, like something, he can come back and Rey, they can do this.
And a second later, like you see his robe just blow away. I was like, fuck, these fuckers.
Yep, he could come back as a Force ghost, I guess.
Great, like Yoda. Can we talk about Yoda ghost?
Yoda ghost. I like
Yoda ghost.
Me too.
He brought a sense of calmness of like, okay, everything's gonna be all right. Yoda's here.
But then he started laughing like a maniac, and he was acting like
Empire Strikes Back Yoda, not prequel Yoda. And again, I'm okay with that.
But but Empire Strikes Back Yoda, it was giving a test to Luke to see how Luke reacted.
Well, he was kind of doing the same thing here, too, though.
He was testing a 60-year-old man?
Yeah, because Luke was acting childish.
I also still stand by my theory.
Luke was acting childish? Yoda burned down a fucking the Jedi tree with lightning, ghost lightning.
Because he was proving a point that it doesn't matter. That it doesn't. You don't need the books.
He was teaching the point that none of the Star Wars stuff matters.
Right.
It's all in the past.
Exactly.
It's all in the past. It's time to move.
That's why I'm not watching any more Star Wars movies.
Right.
That's exactly.
I don't know. I also thought the salt planet was pretty cool. I like the salt planet was cool. That was a good idea. That whole set piece totally works. I like that. Again, there's a lot to like in this movie.
No, there's not.
I think it's a likable movie if you
unlikable.
Take it away from everything else.
And again, I think a lot of it, and I know
the characters are unlikable.
Exactly, and it's like four word changes in the script.
I think Kylo Ren and Rey are likable.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Two characters out of many characters.
I think I'm okay with Luke for the most part, actually.
I think for the most part, Finn and Rose, if they're going to do more of them in the third movie, I'm okay with that. They didn't have anything to do in this movie, but it doesn't make them bad characters. It just means they just didn't have anything to do in this movie.
Right, and Hux. Yeah. No, Hux was great.
Hux was great.
Everybody made fun of him.
But that's okay. He's filling a specific role, sticks to that lane.
Yeah. And he does it very well.
And when he pulls out his gun, like when he's going to shoot Kylo, and then he like sees him waking up and puts it back away, like that's a good Star Wars scene right there.
Sweet, like, they got one in 2 hours and 45 minutes.
But it's like you're like, oh yep, that's
if you throw enough shit against the wall.
I like what that character on, when Luke Skywalker won in the Millennium Falcon, and R2-D2 shows him the Obi-Wan clip. The help me Obi-Wan, you're my only hope.
Oh, you mean cool. Luke's astral projection? You mean?
No. When Luke's on the Millennium Falcon, he sneaks onto it.
R2's there. Yeah.
R2 is there, and he shows him the Princess Leia.
Yeah.
Hologram from the first movie.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I actually thought that would really. I mean, it kind of turns him around a little bit. He says he'll give her three lessons after that, but
didn't. And didn't.
I thought he would lighten up a little more and remember why he.
No, just miserable.
Was doing this.
Just miserable.
We haven't talked about the hole yet.
Which one?
Oh, nothing. Well, not the way. Nothing happened.
Oh, the hole, the mirror hole.
Oh, you mean snappy McSnap-snap hole?
The hole where she went down it and you're like, again, it's the, okay, this is very familiar. This is Empire Strikes Back. This is Luke going in and facing that weird, trippy Vader scene. But she just goes in there and
snaps.
It just proves that she's nobody and doesn't have anything interesting about her.
She's a good snapper.
Right.
She's her own snapping orchestra.
If she's having that much conflict with herself and there's that many of her in that room, have her fight herself.
Fight something.
Something. Fight, or maybe fight. She doesn't fight herself. Maybe she does fight the ghosts, like the ghosts of what she could remember of her parents. Maybe it's you don't see their faces, just this shadowy figure. And as she goes to fight them, maybe they turn away and leave. That would be pretty heavy because it's like, oh yeah, her parents were these faceless nobodies that instead of giving her the satisfaction of being able to confront, they leave again. That would be cool. That's something. There you go. I fixed it. I didn't make the movie. I could have made a much better movie with this same script.
Anybody could have. It's bad.
I don't know. Hey, don't
us together belittle, could make
don't
it.
Belittle my creative genius. No, that's not look, nice.
I mean, there's so many better ideas.
The issue is that every choice was it just was flat the entire time. It was here's an interesting setup, and
not enough.
Here's the least interesting option.
There's nothing special here at the end of this. Every time,
like, and that works.
Oh,
only,
they got caught.
And it doesn't.
Oh,
and you
there's
can't
no parents.
That. Yeah, you can't do that every time.
Oh, Snoke has no backstory.
Mm-hmm. Well, he still has a backstory. He just isn't.
We
there
just anymore. Don't know it.
Exactly. You,
right.
I mean, he still has some sort of backstory. And how long has Snoke been around? I also felt was sort of weird because Luke mentions, you know, at this point, Snoke already had him under his control. I'm like, well, wait, so you knew Snoke was controlling Kylo Ren when
dumb.
You were...
So dumb. You can't even think about it. You can't even discuss it because it's just so dumb.
And where are the Knights of Ren? I mean, shouldn't those have been like the red guys in the room?
I was thinking that, but then I was also thinking at the same time, I'm like, okay, well, Kylo at that point is going to turn good. And then these Knights of Ren are going to
fuck them up.
They're going to take off their masks and they're going to be like all smiley faces and be like, we're saved.
Those must be the guys that he stole from Luke's shitty school, right?
Yeah, because he says he left that night with a few other students. I mean, he says it.
And then we forgot all about them in this movie.
And we forgot all about these other people. And also, apparently, Luke was training other people. It wasn't just a school of one.
They've mentioned that in both movies as well.
Yeah, that Luke isn't just, it's not just Luke and Kylo.
There's other dudes, and we don't know.
There's other people, and Kylo took people with him, and Luke was training others. So there really should be like 10 Jedi. We're not talking like 1,000.
Kylo, it says Kylo kills the rest and took a handful with him.
Oh, did he kill the rest? I thought he I thought he just took a handful with him.
No, no. I'm pretty sure there was a line in there where he.
Did he say, I will believe you, but, you know, again. That just
maybe who knows? I might be misremembering that.
But. Yeah, it was three lines in a 2-hour and 40-minute movie. So, but I feel like, you know, again, there should be other Jedi, because other Jedi were being trained and or taken away. You know, are the Knights of Ren on a planet somewhere doing their own thing? Meditating in a temple.
They're writing the screenplay to Episode 9.
It's
sure.
Weird that like it's as if those they didn't exist again. It's there's some
same with logic
weird choices in this movie that has I still think has some bright spots. It's just it could
I
have
feel
been
like
better.
Okay, so as much deserved heat as the prequels get,
mm-hmm.
I think they had a lot of interesting ideas and like valid backstory
mm-hmm.
to that original trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
Like the acting was wooden and the dialogue was wooden and the CG was bad and all of that. But like, if you looked at like the ideas that were being put in place,
sure.
And
they were consistent with the characters that were in the movie.
Right. And they were filling in stuff that was like, oh, okay. Yeah. I understand how this whole Senate thing works. And this is like what the Clone Wars was, and it wasn't what you thought, but it was like, okay,
interesting. It was shitty, but yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, okay, well, that kind of makes sense of why, like, why would all these people sign up to be stormtroopers? Like it at least, like, made some logical sense of, okay, this is how they got their army to begin with. It felt, like, thought out. It didn't have, like, the dialogue and everything was terrible, and the acting was terrible. But there was a vision. You could see the vision behind all of that.
Still wasn't well thought out. And in many ways, this is sort of
no.
A
I think it was thought out. I think it was thought out.
Well, it was thought out. It wasn't particularly interesting. It
wasn't well put together. This, I don't even see the vision behind it. I don't see anything.
Well, I think
see two different visions right now.
I think
it's this third movie that's coming up. God, I don't know how they're going to do it.
Well, it is from the writer of Superman versus Batman. Batman versus
it should be fantastic then.
So I expect big things.
All right.
This felt like the end, right? Like,
yeah, because I mean, it does, but it doesn't. I mean, yeah, they're all in the.
It felt like it was the start of okay. Now we're gonna make.
I mean, Poe got
15 of these.
Poe got so many people killed that everyone who was left was able to fit on the Millennium Falcon.
Right, that's pretty.
That is the entire resistance, just the Millennium Falcon. You know what would have been cool? And again, I'm going to go back to Rogue One, and you could probably disagree with me. I still think that Jyn Erso should not have killed her off. And then when they got to that planet with the salt planet, and they get into that heavily armored bunker, Jyn Erso should have been there, like the same actress, but with like old age makeup on. Because this way, in the next movie, she could be the new general.
Why did the director think that it's better if you're going to keep somebody alive out of Han? Well, Han, he didn't have a choice because didn't want to make any more.
That had nothing to do with him.
But between Luke and Leia, how is Leia the more interesting character?
They've sort of pawned that off on us, didn't they? Like, they've been trying to convince us of that in The Force Awakens, too. So, I wasn't buying it then either.
I just don't get it.
I don't know.
The actress is dead now, so it's a really bad decision.
Circumstances didn't really lend itself to her, you know, unfortunately. But
it didn't even matter. Even if she was healthy and was going to live another 10 years, whatever, however many years, to make as many movies as they want. Just Leia's, you know, at this look, and now she's so old. I mean, it's not the Princess Leia it's not Princess Leia anymore, right? It's just a different person.
Generally, I don't have any problem with
her being a central focus.
No, and I think the only thing that's sort of interesting, and I heard this somewhere else, is so are we to believe that Leia has really just been leading all armies in war for what, 36 years? Longer, really.
Losing,
40
losing
years.
Losing all that time?
Huh?
Losing all that time?
Losing all that time, like going through armies and armies and just keep going for 40 years of this?
It's just ridiculous.
A nonstop war for 40 years. That everything they accomplished at Return of the Jedi was for no reason. Like, it doesn't
right, that's,
stop.
Right, that's a big problem you have, is that they've made everything in that original trilogy
meaningless.
Pedestrian.
Yeah. Meaningless.
These movies, these are not, I just don't view these as Star Wars movies. There's three Star Wars movies as far as I'm concerned. There's two RoboCop movies as far as I'm concerned. This is basically the RoboCop 3 of Star Wars movies, where there's some good ideas there, but the writing and acting and just general quality of the movie is not there. So, I mean, it certainly didn't ruin my childhood or anything like that any more than like RoboCop 3 ruined RoboCop 1. But I'm not really interested in the story anymore. And I think I'm tapping out of the Star Wars franchise at this point. It was a good run, though.
I'm not going to anywhere near there, I don't think. But I want the next one to be a lot better. I like Rey and Kylo Ren as characters.
Me too. I like Rey and Kylo Ren as characters too. I'd like to see what they do with Finn and Rose. I'm very curious to see if Poe gets his comeuppance, even though I know he won't.
Rose didn't. She was fine.
She was fine. You know what? And I think
she didn't add anything to the movie.
She didn't take anything away. I think that
She almost killed Finn.
Yes, I do think that Finn,
really no
Finn was
going
to commit suicide to help everybody, which I thought was a very Star Wars thing to do.
It made no sense in the context of what was happening, of course.
What?
It made no sense in the context of what was actually happening. Like,
well, no, I mean, you knew that he wasn't going to actually.
I don't know. Did you though? I think maybe that was like, were they really doing all of these zags instead of zigs? So when Finn looked like he was going to sacrifice himself, you really believed that they're going to kill him off because this movie's done everything else that they're not supposed to.
The only reason I had even an inkling of that, maybe they were, was because he's a popular actor now.
I don't know if he's that popular.
No.
He's got roles.
He's got Pacific Rim 2.
Meanwhile, it was so pointless. Even if Finn takes his whatever that ski ship and flew it into the big laser ram, and he blows up the laser ram. Okay, let's say he's successful. He kills himself.
Yeah, it wouldn't have solved any problems. Rose
there's
was
like a whole army there.
Yeah, no, Rose was right. Rose was right in a sense.
But why would he go and do that? What the fuck is wrong with him? He
because
just makes
he thought
bad
it was
decisions.
The right thing to do. It
he's
was a
constantly
bad
making bad decisions.
I understand because he's young and he's not trained. It makes perfect sense for his character.
What do you mean he's not?
He's not trained in.
He's a trained.
Huh?
He's a trained.
He's not a trained stormtrooper. He was a janitor.
Because he was dumb.
Yeah.
He couldn't make
good
decisions.
He was like the dumb. He was the dumb stormtrooper.
Well, they still gave him a uniform and a rifle.
That's true. He wasn't just a janitor because he did go on that.
They keep telling us he's a janitor, but he was on that mission.
Yeah, he was supposed to kill people.
He was on that, and he didn't. He just stood there like a douche.
Yeah. So why does he say he's a janitor?
Because I think when he couldn't kill anyone, they're like, okay, here's a mop.
No, because it was after. Because he left maybe, right after that.
Maybe when they were heading to Jakku, they were like, we need like at least three more guys. Okay, how about this guy? The guy with the mop? Yeah, just give him a gun.
Just give him a gun.
Just give him a gun. It's
right,
fine.
We're all clones.
Yeah, 5 times.
Yeah. Are those guys clones? I don't even know.
They're not clones.
No, those are just people who signed
up. Oh, the clones are dead by now, I'm guessing.
Yeah, okay. Long dead.
They're just all individual people. So he signed up, or he's a slave or something?
No, they're born into it.
Oh, sweet. Mm-hmm. He was just sort of like a slow one, mm-hmm. I guess. Anyway. Yeah.
But I thought Finn and Rose had chemistry. And I thought Kylo Ren and Rey had some chemistry.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
And I like that. Again, it's something that even...
But nothing happened. It was pointless. They should have gotten together somehow.
They had that opportunity there.
Yep.
They set it up.
Yep.
And then did nothing.
What about Luke at the end. I mean, I know it's ridiculous and he can come back later, certainly, but like Luke killing Kylo or Luke killing Snoke or Luke doing something besides just being a miserable person. Just like Han was miserable in the last movie.
Well, he saves what's left of the Resistance at the end.
But
all nine of them.
Right. It was just dumb. Like, why are all those vehicles, none of them can detect if there's somebody there or not?
I'm not going to get into that because you have to assume that a Jedi can trick all that.
The Jedi can trick the – well, he was talking to the – he tricked some droid, right? There were some droids there that
– why didn't we have the BB-8 versus evil BB-8 battle?
Because
there was that weird
BB-8
scene.
BB-8 was too busy driving an AT-SD walker.
Right.
Right.
There was that weird scene, though, but like where they're sneaking on. They got their
Puts their a trash can on order, BB-8.
Yeah, uniforms on. He's got trash can BB-8. And then you see evil BB-8, and he's sitting there, and you know that he sees them. He knows something's going on. He just keeps looking at them.
Yep.
And, I mean, eventually that Captain Phasma shows up, so I guess he radioed Captain Phasma or something.
Yes, yeah,
but
yes.
It seemed like you have these two robots.
What does he get into? Roll into each other?
Yes.
Zap each other?
Yes. Mario Party style.
Zap.
On
one
a
of them
catwalk.
Zaps the other one and rolls.
No,
them.
They're each trying to just like roll into each other to knock themselves off of this catwalk into this bottomless pit. It's perfect.
Yep. Next time. So what would you give it out of 5 stars?
Who, me?
Sure.
I would give it, I don't rank things out of 5 stars. I give it a RoboCop 3 is my ranking.
All right. What would you give it as Shipwreck?
On the RoboCop scale. RoboCop, RoboCop 2, or RoboCop 3?
I don't know that I've ever seen RoboCop 3. I checked out before then. No. I think it's, I mean, it's the, what, fifth? Best Star Wars movie still?
Yeah, it's still the fifth best Star Wars movie, and I agree with you. It's
so
still
five out of eight, or five out of nine.
No, I don't even think so. What about Revenge of the Sith? Wasn't that bad?
It's better. This is better than Revenge of the Sith.
It is?
Yes.
Yeah, you're only remembering that final fight scene.
Which was cool, I'll give you that. Right. But no, that's the only redeeming thing in that whole movie. That movie is trash. I enjoyed this movie for the most part. I just certain things about it really bothered me. Most of them begin with Poe.
Yeah, it's the same thing as you
they
said. Your ninja
po,
could defeat RoboCop.
They should have had Poe from Kung Fu Panda instead of Poe, and it would have been a better movie.
Gotcha. All right.
I also think you're in this vast universe with all of these alien beings. Every character is human.
All the main characters. Like, why isn't there a main alien character? Like,
right,
a Chewbacca?
Like you got Chewbacca just,
who's
like,
the new Chewbacca?
With the Porgs, but he's not doing anything.
No, he doesn't do anything in this movie. No one has less to do.
No one does anything. Very little happens. It's mostly nothing. More stuff
you
happens
to the
than
casino
RoboCop
planet
3.
And it's like, hey, there's all these alien people. We found another human for you guys to meet. We found the one human on this planet.
Boo. You guys tricked yourselves into thinking that you liked it a little bit.
No. It's an enjoyable movie on its own. It just doesn't...
It's not.
The problem is simply that they changed directors and writers between a movie that directly fed from another movie.
Yeah, if there was time in between, maybe. I don't know, but yeah. You're not wrong.
Poor Mark Hamill. I feel
he's
bad
fine.
For him. I feel very
he's
bad
fine.
For him. He
he's
seems so
fine.
Sad now after seeing
he's
the movie.
He's fine. He's fine.
I like the theory that he didn't know he was dying at the end and that they just, you know, in the edit, they made him disappear.
He knows.
He seems very happy before he saw the movie. And
I
then,
understand.
Like,
he definitely knew contracts are more
everybody seemed that way before they saw the movie, though.
That's true. I was happy going in. And then I got a
See,
cheeseburger when the trailer
Stop
started.
Stop saying that you
and
liked
3
it.
Hours later, once you've watched a half hour of trailers and
no,
and
bad
and a half hours
maybe
of
you
movie.
Just had to pee. You don't know.
2.5 hours of bad movie. Yeah.
It's fine. It
you
was
guys
a little
are
too
kind.
Uh-huh. I need to get
we're
to
not
bed.
Not too kind. It's not that bad of a movie.
It's not that bad of a movie. Shipwreck and I both like it. You hated it. I think
I just don't like the choices for the most. Like that's the issues.
That's all it is.
We agree on pretty much everything. Shipwreck and I, Cheapy does not. I'll let you take that with for what it's worth. And on that note, I think it's time for us to bid adieu.
Merry Christmas.
And say Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
May the force be with us.
Always.
Breadstone.